and welcome back to Your Favorite Album, the podcast where I, your host, Adam Santiago, sits down and asks someone, hey, what's your favorite album? Joining us this week is my buddy Pete the Retailer, who hosts NerdGeekDork.com with me, and also the insanely popular StarWarsMinute.com podcast. Hi, Pete.
Hey.
Thanks for joining me on yet another podcast we're doing together.
Well, this time I'm your guest, so that's
it's kind of weird.
Good. Yeah,
I hold all the cards.
I know. I don't want to put my feet up on anything.
Yeah.
It's nice in here, though.
Thanks, man. Welcome. Yeah. Welcome to my abode. So you know what? I'm just going to jump right into it.
Okay.
Because that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole point of the whole show. What's your favorite album, Pete?
It took me a while to sort this out. I know, because you asked me, you know, as we were talking about setting up this podcast originally, I started thinking about what mine would be. And I've gone through, you know, you go through phases where each one is different. And it's like, you know, every couple of years you get into a different thing. And it's like, oh, wow, this is totally my favorite album. So I had a hard time picking. There were a lot that it could have been. There's a lot that I think that you thought it might be.
I had a few ideas in my head. I still don't know what it is that
I know,
you
I've,
went with.
I've been trying to keep it from you. So I went all the way back.
Can't believe you kept it a secret, because, I mean, we work together.
I know.
We've worked together for the past 12 years. I should know that.
It was like a secret birthday present or something.
Oh.
It's not your birthday, though.
Okay.
That would be a secret. No, I had to go all the way back. I decided to go to what my first favorite album ever was.
Ooh, okay.
And my first favorite album
ever. I think I know what it is now. Is it Chipmunk Punk?
It is Chipmunk Punk.
Woo!
It's my first kind of album that I remember owning. I listened to it all the time when I was a kid, and it's the reason why my hearing is so terrible. Well, one of the reasons my hearing is so terrible, because I used to walk around with my old kind of, you know, silver Walkman with the orange ear pads on it with just Chipmunk Punk on as loud as it would go. And that's terrible. I shouldn't have been allowed to do that.
For those who might not know what Chipmunk Punk is, would you like to give us a quick... Wow, you're the first guest who actually came with notes.
Well,
I can appreciate that.
Because I was worried I was going to forget some of this stuff. It's an important album.
Okay, yeah. Drop some knowledge on us.
You know, in the 60s, 50s, 60s, whatever, the Chipmunks were, you know, their own thing. It was like a novelty franchise. Totally died out. I think 1969 was the last Chipmunks album with Bagdasarian Sr.,
mm-hmm.
who was the guy who invented it, did the whole thing. You know, he was Dave.
Yeah.
Kind of died out. He died. Out. And
he took the whole idea with him?
His son took over, and, you know, his son was looking for a way to kind of relaunch it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, rumor has it, somebody played, like, some rock and roll DJ, who was actually named Chuck Taylor, apparently.
Okay.
Played, as a joke, Blondie's Call Me single, sped it up, played it on 78, and made the joke that that was the Chipmunks' latest single. Instantly, they get flooded with calls of people asking where they can get that, and, like, people, you know, calling up, I don't know where you would call in those days, record stores and whatever, like, wondering when the new Chipmunk single was coming out and where they could buy it, when they could buy it. Like, huge upsurge of demand. So they just turned around. I think, like, Call Me came out at the beginning of the year, like, and by June, I think, Chipmunk Punk was out. It was 1980.
Wow.
So they just instantly, they're like, oh, wait, we can do that. That's our shtick. There's our hook. We can relaunch the Chipmunks with that.
It's Alvin with more attitude.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. Okay, so let's get this out of the way first. It's not punk at all.
No.
There are no punk songs on this album. But the very existence of it is slightly, I don't know, it's a little bit subversive in the fact that, like, it's not super sanitized, you know. They do the clean version of one or two songs, but it's still, like, the subject matter is still very kind of adult, and or at least kind of mature for a Chipmunks album. You know, they were doing, you know, kid-friendly novelty songs.
Yeah, it's kind of like Kids Bop, which I've talked to you about many times.
Yeah.
But you never understand what I'm talking about.
No, I know. It's always playing in Toys R Us.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's how I know popular music these days.
So it's not punk, but it's just weird. Like nowadays, they wouldn't do that. I don't think they wouldn't be.
I'm pretty sure they would.
The Chipmunks? You think?
Yeah. Because like what the whole movies are based on.
Oh, I don't know.
I haven't seen any of them, sadly.
I think there's less at stake for them now, so I don't think they would be as kind of cavalier in doing. I mean, all right. So here, like, there's no punk, but there's all the songs seem to be about like lust or sex or relationships or, you know, like all this kind of subject matter that you don't associate with the Chipmunks.
Hmm. Unless you watch the cartoons.
Well, that was later.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it all, I mean, it also kind of, there's a chicken and an egg thing that, you know, do I really like this kind of, this genre and the stuff that came out of it? Because it's kind of like new wave-y, you know, slightly edgy, but, you know, pop, new wave influenced pop stuff, which if you look at, like, if you follow that train, that's where probably most of my music comes from.
Gotcha.
Like, the music that I'm, you know, at heart, the music that I listen to the most is probably from that era. But is that because of Chipmunk Punk? Or is that just because of the time that I grew up in? I don't know.
Like, would you have loved that stuff without Chipmunk Punk? Wow, that's right. A great question.
I think this is the keystone. I think all these songs on Chipmunk Punk influence the way that I listen to music, the way that I ingest music.
Hmm. So I should play stuff you normally wouldn't like at a higher pitch, higher, faster pitch, you know, and just...
Exactly. Go back in time and play it for me in, like, 1980.
There you go. All right.
But, I mean, this introduced me to The Cars, because the first song was Let's Go by The Cars.
Okay.
Which, again, Let's Go, it's about, like, you know, teenagers wanting to go out and, you know, sneak out of their house and, you know, go dancing and get into the nightlife, as it were. Mm. It has Good Girls Don't by The Knack. There's three songs by The Knack on here. I don't know why they were so into The Knack. I mean, it was a huge album a couple of years before that, but it's weird that they, this is the only song that they, the only band that they did multiple songs of, and they did three Knack songs.
Hmm.
Three out of nine. So a third of the album is The Knack.
Wow. Interesting.
And, you know, Good Girls Don't is about sex. How Do I Make You? Linda Ronstadt, which I never got into Linda Ronstadt, which is surprising, but that's, I've since gotten into this album a little bit because it's her like kind of freak out new wave album.
Okay.
I know a lot of people respect Linda Ronstadt and like her. I've never never listened to much of her at all, so I don't know what to make of that, as it were. But that's another one. How Do I Make You? Dream About Me. You know, it's like, it's again, it's about lust.
Hmm.
Refugee, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Nice.
It's another one that, you know, I'm probably not as into Tom Petty as some people might say I should be, but...
Tom Petty's great, dude.
Yeah, I'm certainly not anti-Tom Petty.
Okay, good.
Frustrated by The Knack, again, The Knack, and that's about sex. And it's even, like, near the end of it, they even go into a verse of, a chorus of Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones. So they're combining, you know, like, I'm so, you know, frustrated, I can't get no satisfaction.
I can respect that.
Again, it's the Chipmunks. Side B, Call Me, starts out with Call Me, the song that kicked it all off, which theme from American Gigolo. You know. You May Be Right by Billy Joel.
I love that song.
Which, Glass Houses was almost my choice here. Well, I almost went with Glass Houses for favorite album. Ended up going with this, but it's a strong, you know, strong contender. This might have been the only song that I knew before Chipmunk Punk, because it was so around, you know, me growing up on Long Island in the 70s, 80s. It's,
yeah. You guys were forced, spoon-fed Billy Joel.
Exactly.
Strong Island.
Word. But that, you know, as some have said, it's Billy Joel's most punk rock song. Because his, you know, that Glass Houses was his kind of new wave, you know, not freak out album, but he got a little edgier and new wavier in that. And, You May Be Right has been covered by a couple of punk bands. I think Avail did it, and somebody else that I can't think of.
Mm-mm. Can't think of anyone.
Well, Crazy Little Thing Called Love, Queen. That's, you know.
I love Queen.
Yeah. Again, I might have heard Queen. I don't think I heard Crazy Little Thing Called Love at that point, but I certainly heard the, We Are the Champions.
Oh, of course, yeah. And probably I'm trying to think what else was around, big around that time. Pressure. Yeah. Even though, you know, David Bowie, Queen.
Was that before this or after that? I think that might have been like 81 or 82. Oh, really? Or was that before this? I don't know.
All before I was born, so I wouldn't really know.
Which is a funny thing. If you look up, if you Google Crazy Little Thing Called Love, like the before Crazy Little Thing Called Love Queen, mm-hmm. Crazy Little Thing Called Love Elvis will come up. There's a whole segment of the population that thinks that that's an Elvis Presley song.
Really?
Yeah. It was written after he died, like 3 years after he died. But there's a whole segment.
I'm listening to it in my head right now, and I can see why that would...
Well, it was intended to be an Elvis-ish, you know, I think it was like a tribute kind of in a way, but I don't think it, you know, Freddie Mercury doesn't sound like Elvis. Like, the song sounds Elvis-y, but...
Freddie Mercury sounds like Freddie Mercury, and it's heavenly.
Exactly. And then the album closes with My Sharona by The Knack.
Nice. I mean, I've heard this album a few times. Like, I think I have it somewhere, because you've definitely given it to me, that and, what is it?
Sesame Street Fever.
Yes,
the disco album.
Yeah, which is also good.
That was good.
I was wondering if that would be one of your favorites. Like, I thought that would come through.
I kind of forgot about that.
You can never forget about doing the pigeon.
I know. Yeah, see that was good. This is more like that was good as its own thing. I think maybe the fate of disco made it more of an isolated.
Disco never dies, bro.
I know. It just lies dormant for a little while. Disco is like a volcano. And lays down dormant for a little while, and then it comes back unexpectedly and suddenly.
And then Tommy Lee Jones has to save us all. Right. Or Pierce Brosnan, depending on your taste.
But yeah, I think this more... Because this affected the way I listen to music, like I said, over time, I had to go with this one more. I don't listen to that much disco these days. I'm sorry.
True. You just dress like you do.
Yeah. But yeah, I think, it, you know, despite being a kind of cash grab marketing gimmick, I think it's a little bit subversive in that, you know, when I was 5, 6 years old, I was listening to these lyrics all about, you know, kind of teen angst and you know, sex and lust and all that stuff, which, you know, on the surface, it's, you know, parents are buying it for like, oh, hey, it's the Chipmunks. They're wholesome. And then, lo and behold, it's a little bit less than wholesome, although not completely, you know. Could have been much punker.
It's a gateway album. Would have
been more subversive, but yeah, it is a gateway album. I think a lot of my... I mean, I really like that Knack album now, and I think it's because of the Chipmunk Punk.
It's because they drill 3 Knack songs in your head, so you had to go...
At one point, they even joke about it. I think it's in... I don't know, during one of the Knack songs, they start to, you know, like the music kicks in, and they start singing, the wrong one, and he's like, I think it's at the beginning of Frustrated, they start singing Good Girls Don't, and they're like, no, the other one, and he's like, oh, okay, my, sure, and it was like, no, the other one, and like, then they go into the hook.
Very self-aware.
Yeah.
Wonder and why they went with 3 Knack songs. Either they were huge Knack fans, or they had a deal, or was the Knack the backing band?
I thought that. At first, I thought it was, he was, what's his name from the Knack, was like the co-producer or something. I thought he was involved with it, but I don't think he was. I think it was just, you know, poppy, accessible songs, and maybe they were having trouble getting licensing or figuring out other songs to do, and they just went, you know, these are totally, you know, catchy.
Yeah.
And that album, literally, that album was huge. Like, it was like, it's hard to picture, even for me. You know, hard to picture exactly how big the Get the Knack was at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, it was like a switch on and off. It was such a flash in the pan that it was like the number one album, you know, the country, and everybody, you couldn't escape it. And then it was just like, okay, everybody's sick of that. And instantly had to go.
Trying to think of an album like that, that hit me like that, you know, just was a gateway to everything that wasn't like a soundtrack. You know, just like kind
of
like a...
Yeah, there are a couple of soundtracks that I thought of, too, that almost made it.
Yeah, they can do it.
And then I almost did the wrestling album, which I'm sure somebody will get to at some point with the people you know.
That's true.
And then, I don't know, there's a handful of other stuff that almost, but, you know, deep down inside.
You had to go with Chipmunk Punk?
Yeah, if you followed my, you know, my musical tree.
It's quite a tree.
The root of it is Chipmunk Punk.
It is quite the tree, I have to say. we've been trading music for over a decade now, so
yeah.
There's a lot of stuff there, you know.
What else?
I don't know. I was looking at your notes. It's like, wow, that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I feel like I just burned through a lot of it. But we can. The cover to Chipmunk Punk, it's another good part of it.
Because, like, you can see it in my head.
You know, this is, of course, I had this on vinyl, so it's that 12-inch, you know.
You had this on vinyl?
Of course.
Wow, that's awesome.
All that stuff I had on vinyl. It was, you know, I had it on vinyl, and then I guess my parents had recorded the vinyl. I was going to say ripped, but we didn't have that terminology at the time. They recorded the album onto a cassette, so I also had a Blue Maxell cassette with a Dymo label that said Chipmunk Punk on it. But that's where I listen to it on my Walkman all the time. But
it'd be cool if you were just walking with a record player. Hey guys, what's up?
But yeah, like that album cover was just, and it's like totally a nod to like the Ramones' first album and you know, a couple of other album covers at the time, where it's just, you know, there's the chipmunks looking kind of punkish, like, I think Theodore's wearing a skinny tie, and you know, Simon's hair is kind of spiked, and Alvin's got, his hair is kind of buzzed, and he's got his hat back a little bit, and he's got a safety pin holding his A on, and I think he's wearing Chucks. And they're like in front of a brick wall, with like a garbage can and a guitar next to them. And then it looks like almost like spray painted graffiti. It says Chipmunk Punk on the wall behind them. And again, that's more punk than the actual content, but still, I don't know. I think it primed me for something.
Wow. Would you, so since you got into this in a young age, would you, it, say you have children in the future, would you start them off with this too?
I mean, it'd certainly be up there. I don't know how, you know, like, you can't really play the Chipmunks for babies, I don't think. It might frighten them. And
that's true, yeah.
Damage their hearing, as that's all I'm going to be concerned about. I'm going to be like, you can listen to this, but very quietly.
Mm. Well, okay, let's say when they're like 6, 7.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What is it about, like, high-pitched, like, hearing those voices high-pitched that makes it, like, fun for children? Why do kids like that?
I guess that's what made the cartoon appealing back in, like, the one that they did when I was growing up. So maybe, like, late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, because I think after this, they did a couple more. They did a Urban Chipmunk, which was a country album, which I also
I was hoping
had.
It was a hip-hop album.
No, hip-hop hadn't broken yet. It was still kind of
straight out of Chipmunks.
And then they did Chipmunk Rock, which was a kind of more, that had, like, Jessie's Girl and Whip It and stuff like that.
Does that have Do You Wanna, wait, does this have Joan Jett or is that one? I felt like one has Joan Jett on it.
I think Chipmunk Rock has Joan Jett. Okay. I never had that one, strangely.
Huh.
A lot of that stuff is stuff that I listen to now, too, so.
Yeah.
Granted, it could just be, you know, without, subconsciously, I was following the Chipmunks' path.
There you go.
But, yeah, I never had Chipmunk Rock. And then, like, that was also popular. And then once they started kind of raking it in, then, you know, they signed a TV deal. And I think 86, 87, maybe, the show started.
Mm-hmm. Which has one of my favorite songs of all time. They did a Valentine's Day special. And Alvin tends to sleepwalk and becomes this guy, Captain Chipmunk. I think it was Captain Chipmunk. Or something like that, and he just, like, sings this song every time he rides his horse to Brittany's house.
Hmm.
And it's amazing. Like, I love that song. I own that episode on DVD because that's what I do, apparently.
I didn't know they had released the Chipmunk Show on DVD.
I was unpacking a bunch of DVDs when I worked at Barnes & Noble one day, and there was just one copy of this Chipmunk's Valentine's Day special, and I opened it and I went, holy fuck! And the coworker was just like, what? Like, you don't understand. I'm buying this right now. And I went home, watched it. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Holds up somewhat.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, I did watch the show, but I can't recall any episodes of it. It was one of those things that just kind of washes over me. And it's like, okay, here's what I'm going to do in between now and an hour from now when I have to do my homework.
Yeah, I can remember that episode. And there was a two-parter where they found their mom.
Hmm.
And they were like, why'd you leave us? Blah, 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 blah.
It was a very special Chipmunks.
Exactly. Like, they had, like, a nice, what do you call it? Like, title card for it and everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, you know, the Chipettes were introduced on Chipmunk Rock. Where the concept of the Chipettes was introduced as a joke on Chipmunk Rock, and then they
really?
Yeah, then they were created for the show.
Huh.
But not on Chipmunk Puck.
They just weren't ready for it yet. It wasn't their time.
No, they were still infatuated with Sharona. So, what can you do?
It's amazing what kind of cash cow you get from just, you know, doing this.
Yeah. Well, you know, technically it takes some work, but they had such a system built, you know, that literally, you know, this, I think this came out in the summer, and it literally. Like, it could not have started earlier than the beginning of the year. So, like, within, I'm sure it just, you know, they took them like a week or two. They're like, okay, let's just do, you know, we'll do this song, this song, this song. And then boom, knocked it out. Jeez. This is the first one where, you know, Ross Bagdasarian Jr. took over. Like I said, his father died in 72, I think, and so he took over. And so this is the...
He said, you can only cover punk music over my dead body. So they recorded it over his gravestone.
Exactly. It's also their first gold album ever.
Wait, this went gold?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's all, like, also...
I guess this is what led to everything.
Everybody criticized, you know, like Rolling Stone panned it, obviously, and they're all just like, this is stupid, crass commercialism, and you know, all the respectable music critics are just like, this isn't punk, like, this is garbage. And but then, of course, you know, kids like me ate it up, so it went gold.
Yeah.
First gold album, which is why they went. Then they went back and did, you know, Urban Chipmunk, which was also, you know, there was the country thing at the time.
Hmm. Speaking of country and just random country albums, I recommend people go look up Country Mike's Greatest Hits.
You gave that to me once.
Yes. It's Mike Diamond from the Beastie Boys. They recorded a country album, and it's amazing.
I'll also recommend Rick Moranis' The Agoraphobic Cowboy.
Oh, that's a great album.
That's another good one. Country tangent.
Yeah, country. Oh, that water is delicious. I'm still trying to think if there's an album that made me, that was kind of like a gateway like that, but I can't.
What did you have when you were a kid?
Vanilla Ice's To the Extreme.
There you go.
It's one of my favorite albums of all time. I don't know if it'd be number one, but that album is.
But you think it influenced your...
Oh, hell yeah.
The way that you listen to things.
Yeah. Never judge a book by its cover.
Well, that had a pretty cool cover.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
So.
I need to get that sweater.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know. I'm not saying it direct, you know, I only listen to music of that style. Obviously, you don't listen to music only of Vanilla Ice style, because they don't make that anymore.
Sadly. But, Vanilla Ice, come on, come back, man. After you're done building whatever it is you're building, because that's what he does now.
He builds?
Does, like, home renovations on TV shows. Like, you know. You can come fix my apartment. We can talk about the good old days. I've gone through many copies of that album. Like, even when I would buy it at the Virgin Mega store that used to be Union Square, they'd look at me like I was buying it as a joke. And I'm like, no, this needs to be purchased.
I need this.
Has to be done.
Yeah, they re-released Chipmunk Punk a couple of years ago digitally, and I bought it.
That's where I first heard it, because you were like, oh, this is available.
Although it's not the same, I just went back and listened to, like, because I had downloaded from somebody's blog, I had downloaded, like, a vinyl rip, and I find that much more, like, something about the kind of, I'm not an analog kind of, you know, audiophile, like, I listen to a lot of MP3s and a lot of, you know, low-quality garbage, sorry, guys, but, I kind of prefer...
Manson.
What?
Sorry.
What'd you say?
Shirley Manson.
Oh, yeah. Lots of low-quality garbage like that. I kind of prefer the low-quality vinyl rip with all of its... Like, it even skips in spots.
Nice.
And it's just like, okay, well, this is the way that I experience this the most. So.
Yeah.
But they also put the tracks out of order in the digital one. Like, it came out on CD and digitally, and, like, the... I don't know why, but they just kind of put the tracks in, like, a weird
Do they want the Knack songs order. Closer together or spaced further apart?
I don't know. I think it might start with Call Me on the other one. Hmm. I forgot where what the... I have to look it up again.
Hmm.
But it seems random. You know, why would they do that?
I don't know. I would have more expected, instead of like track switching, like maybe there was a song that just wasn't... Like maybe they just omitted it or something, or they added like something that they couldn't get the rights to at the time.
Like I looked up other... From the, you know, hoping that there was some kind of, you know, because 9 songs, it seems odd.
Well, it's odd. It's an odd number.
So I was hoping there was one more song that they, you know, like they had recorded that wasn't on there. They did release 2 singles. I think at least 2 singles off of this. They released, Call Me and they released You May Be Right, both as singles. And there's 45s for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But no B-sides. Like the other side is just another song off the album. There's no, like, they didn't go and do another song, which I'm totally bummed about because I want more. You know, I want their one.
You want them to want you?
Exactly.
Something, oh man, like that. Cheap Trick. That'd be great.
Yeah, I wish there was just. Well, they did. I don't know. I should get Chipmunk Rock and listen to it because they did a couple of songs that of this same kind of.
You should just make your own.
That's true. I should.
There you go. Anytime you're like, man, this song would sound great if the Chipmunks did it, just make it.
Although they sue for that, apparently.
Oh, I mean, really?
If you put it, yeah, like people have done kind of, you know, because it's the internet.
Yeah.
People have done modern, like I think somebody did Gangsta Chipmunks and they sued for that. And somebody else did a thing when they did kind of the same idea.
Huh.
And they sued, I think successfully, because they have like they have a lock on that kind of, I don't think they have it patented, but, you know, it's easy for them to prove that if you released a song that sounds like the Chipmunks, that it could easily get confused with the Chipmunks, and therefore you're damaging the brand.
Wow. Interesting.
Hmm.
Also, now popping in my head is that listening to you talk of the influence that that album had on you and just, you know, how it got you into all this music, kind of want to go and look up the soundtracks to the new Chipmunk movies and see what they're leading the next generation into.
That's true.
There's probably some really horrible shit on there.
Yeah, I think they're probably just doing pop.
Yeah.
Although, something came up when I was researching this. Now I can't remember it. But, like, in addition to, there was, like a picture. Because when I searched for the album cover online, Google Image searched it, and I did Chipmunk Punk. And, like, most of the things that come up are the album cover for this. But then some of them are, like, an image from one of the new CG movies where they look kind of punk. I mean, not really. They probably look less punk than they do on the cover of Chipmunk Punk, but they look, you know, new punky.
Mm.
They look like mall punks or something. But I forgot. There were some songs that were... I don't think it's anything too punky. I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that. Also, they did a Charlie's Angels episode of Chipmunks. I like that just popped in my head.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It was actually pretty good.
Hmm.
Starred the Chipettes, of course. Alvy's Angels, I think it was called. Why is this stuff stuck in my head after all these years?
It's important.
This memory will be the death of me. It'll just overload the brain. Done. Sadly.
One day it'll just be the tipping point. You'll just hear one, like, you'll be like, hey, that's that guy from the, you know, that guy was also in that other show. And you'll be like, ah! like Kaneda and, Akira, what's his name?
Tetsuo?
Tetsuo, thank you. You'd be like Tetsuo with your head. So yeah, I forgot that part. It was too much.
It's okay, man. It's okay. You know? My gift is also my curse.
Despite my full page of notes, that's all I got.
That's all you got?
That's all I got. It was important to me. Shaped the way that I listen to music. And not only in the way that I consume music, not only in the way that I, you know, the things that I like and don't like, but also change the way that I listen to music physically by damaging my ears to the point where now I, you know, I have to listen to my music loud in order to even fucking hear it.
I'm surprised that my hearing's still pretty amazing despite how loud I listen to my music.
It's, I don't know, man. Maybe it's because when I was so young, I was blasting it. Like, you know, my ears weren't fully developed yet, and here I am, you know, high-pitched kind of squeals, just pumping through at maximum volume.
Mm. trying to think of the first song I'd listen to on repeat constantly. Might have been Genesis's No Son of Mine. For some reason.
That's totally random.
Yeah. My aunt wrote down the lyrics because I was like, I need to know what they're saying. I memorized all those.
There's an awesome part in Chipmunk Punk here. They're like, it's during Refugee. And like, you know, the lyrics are, you know, it's saying, you know, somewhere, somehow, somebody must have pushed you around some. And you know, it's all about, you know, like this kind of relationship that, you know. And then, did I write it down? Yeah, Simon, like, you know, Alvin singing, and then Simon in the background, you hear him go, like, Theodore, what do these words really mean? And Theodore's like, beats me. And they just keep going with the song. Like, it's just totally, you know, pointing out the fact that these lyrics are kind of probably over the head of the average listener as well as the Chipmunks themselves.
I enjoy stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what would you say your favorite track on this album is?
Oh. Why are you going to do that to me?
Because I can. It's for my other podcast. Your favorite track off your favorite album. It's a sub podcast.
I might go with the one that I most associate with it just because I don't know it elsewhere, which is How Do I Make You, the Linda Ronstadt song. Just because, you know, the rest of the stuff I've listened to, obviously Billy Joel I listened to, you know, like the Cars, the Knack, like all that stuff I've listened to the originals.
Yeah.
I have a playlist at home called Not Chipmunk Punk, which is all the originals of all these songs, which I listen to a lot. But the Linda Ronstadt song, I never really listened to that. The album is called Mad Love, and it's got some good songs on it, but I just never really got into it on its own.
Somewhere She Just Shed a Tear.
I know. Sorry.
It's like, damn it. Someone won't give me a chance.
So that's like the purest Chipmunk song, if that makes sense to me. And it's also, it's really good. Like, musically, it's interesting.
Wait, I forgot who wrote it. Purist?
Well, just because it's not, to me, it's like more a Chipmunk song than it is a Linda Ronstadt song.
Oh, okay.
Whereas the other ones are all.
Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think she wrote that one. I don't know who did.
The Chipmunks.
Maybe I can look it up. It's written by Billy Steinberg.
I don't know who that is.
He's probably Tom written. Kelly and Billy Steinberg. They wrote like A Virgin. They wrote True Colors, Eternal Flame, So Emotional. But, like, they wrote a lot of kind of 80s girl lady pop.
A lot of stuff I like.
Yeah, it's good stuff. They wrote In Your Room. That's an awesome song. They wrote I Touch Myself.
Wait, what's In Your Room?
The Bangles.
In Your Room.
I love it in your room. You know it if you heard
it. I probably have it on my computer.
Apologies to the Bangles for my horrible rendition of their song.
They were some of my earliest subscribers, actually, so we'll get back to you on that.
Yeah, they wrote a lot of good stuff. That's what I was thinking. All right.
So How Do I Make You?
Yeah.
By Linda Ronstadt.
How Do I Make You by Linda Ronstadt?
Is, well, by the Chipmunks covering.
Right. So now, do you close this out with the, are you going to put the Chipmunks on here at the end?
Yes.
Or are you going to put one of the originals? You're going to put
No. We go straight from the album.
I just, you know, not sure of your listeners' tender ears.
You might want to lower your volume when the song kicks in, then.
Crank it way up. If you've got a toddler or a tween, just put it on their ears and put the volume up all the way.
And change their lives forever.
Yes.
Ah, that was good stuff. So we're going to go with that song. That's what we're going to close out with.
Cool.
All right. Well, I think we've covered everything, good sir. Thanks for being on the show, Pete.
Thanks for having me on the show.
No problem. Yeah. I'm
excited about it.
I know I said where you're from and everything, but would you like to toss out any other plugs or at least go a little further into things?
Well, hopefully, if you're listening to this, you know about Nerd Geek Dork, which is Adam and I have that. It's a recurring podcast. Season 2 is just kicking up. So
yeah, we should be releasing that shortly, hopefully.
Well, by the time this airs, it might have started already. Who knows?
Good point, yeah.
I also do Star Wars Minute with my friend Alex. We do every minute of Star Wars, the Star Wars movies. We analyze it for about 15 minutes a day. So if you're into Star Wars, or even if you're just into funny observations about movies, give that a listen.
Yeah, and they're on Empire Strikes Back now.
That's true. We're in the middle of Empire Strikes Back, or first third or so, yeah. First act of Empire Strikes Back right now. So give that a listen. And then we've got other stuff coming up that I can't really talk about
yeah,
right
now.
Yeah,
we have to keep that on the hush-hush for now.
Yeah. But, you know,
we got a lot.
Go to petheretailer.com. That's, you can links to all that stuff from there.
Oh, that's up now?
It's been up.
Okay, cool. I didn't know.
No, I haven't set up the other thing yet, but...
Okay, good.
Yeah.
More stuff we're working on.
Exactly.
But, yeah, thanks for being on, Pete. This is the point where I'll usually say something like, I'll see you around, but we're going to go to a bar after this.
Yeah, let's go and then I'm
gonna
have a drink.
I'm going to see you tomorrow at work mm-hmm. here. And
we could drink then, too.
That's true. We do have some alcohol here. but, yes, thanks you for listening to your favorite album. Hopefully we'll see you again next week, and we're going to leave you with How Do I Make You by the Chipmunks covering Linda Ronstadt off the album Chipmunk Punk. I'm Adam. That's it. Take it easy. Bye.
Bye.